started preaching a message. And by the way, I got to introduce you to my favorite waitress at 4B's. There she is, way back there. I have been bugging you for how many years?
Wow.
Finally tonight she walks in and I said, "Hi, don't I know you?" And she said, "Yeah, you invited me." So it pays to go to have coffee, amen. So amen. Invite folks. God bless you, sister. I'm so glad brought her daughter and her children. So nice to have you tonight. What a blessing. Amen. I didn't recognize you without a coffee cup with you. Amen. Let's stand and give God the reading of word tonight. Thank you for being friendly to people this morning. It was really amazing. I kind of encourage you to give me 3 minutes after I close and get me out of here. You get 3 minutes. Just stay in here 3 minutes, talk to people. And my wife says, nobody's coming out. And Ezekiel chapter 36. I want you to read I'm going to read the 26th and 27th verse. I want you to pay close attention to what Ezekiel, God, is telling him. He says this, "A new heart also will I give you." Now that's God speaking here. "And a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your heart, flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes." Statutes always mean the word of God. Got that? "Walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my commandments." And there is the, when you're setting the hook on a fish, and do them, amen. That's when you pull the trigger and the animal goes down, amen. They're doing it. You can talk. I hear a lot of guys jawing about everything. You know, they're always talking about this, talking about that, talking about this. I was messing with my brother-in-law. I sent my motorcycle to him, my big green one, and I was just going to really trash it. It wasn't worth anything unless you get an oil pump on it. And it takes a lot of work to do to get an oil pump. But anyway, he's got that thing shined like, I mean, it's just like brand new. And I said, "What's the deal?" "Oh," he said, "I got to polish it again." I said, "Why?" He said, "Well, I might want to ride it." I said, "That bike should have bugs on the windshield. I don't want mine sitting in the garage. I want to get on it and ride it, amen." And I said, "Mike," I said, "this thing needs to be on the road." He said, "Oh, but Sheldon, it's so beautiful. I don't want to get it dirty." I said, "You're out of your mind." And, you know, there's a lot of Christians like that. You know, they know their Bible, but boy, they don't want to get their hands dirty. We were at camp, and God bless my real men who went in there. There was trash from the week before there. And there's white little things. It was all alive. Kind of like my cat. Remember my telling you my cat?
Yep.
It was all alive. And the boys got in there, and one of them, you know, put on gloves. Another one just got in there. And I said, "Hey, your hands are washed. Your hands are washed. Get in there and do it. And then wash your hands. And don't touch my food afterwards." Amen. All right. So the Bible said, "A new heart will I give you." I love that. I need a new heart. Everyone needs a new heart. And when you accept Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you get a new heart. Before, your heart was stone, the Bible says. Some people are pretty hard-hearted. Nothing bothers them. Nothing changes life. They're just, "I'm macho. I'm cool. I'm some old lady said, "You can't move me." I said, "You're right, lady." But anyway, there are some things in life that we just got to be careful about, amen, and we don't get a stony heart. And then the Bible said, "I will put my spirit within you." And of course, when we accept Jesus Christ as personal Savior, what happens? The Spirit of God comes to live within our heart. Father, now I pray you'd help us now, Lord, as we look into the Word of God tonight, that it would not be a time of waste, but the time of encouragement, that we would live more like you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Scripture says, when a man gets saved, he gets a new heart. He gets a new heart. Ezekiel tells us that. And a new heart, you don't have to be conniving to look good. You are good. And you want to serve God in every way you can. You see things. You want to help things. You want to help people. You see things. Now, just like I spoke this morning about a car. And car's integrity is not the paint. or the shiny chrome. The integrity of that car is underneath that hood. And if it'll stay running. That's what a bus may be beautiful, but it can't make up a hill with a load of passengers. What good is that bus? A truck, man, they're nice. Nice looking truck, but if you can't jam them gears and get up the hill, it's wasted. And the same with a Christian. If a Christian does not have the heart that engages and has the power to pump blood into the veins of a man or a woman to do the things that they need to do, hey, you're not going to make it very long, are you? Same with a Christian. If you don't have the heart of a Christian, if you do not have God's heart in you, and he said, I will give you a new heart. So where does the heart come from? It comes from God. He said, I will do great things in you. I give you my spirit. I'll do these things for you. So, we talked about that. We talked about the new relationship. And the new relationship is the Bible says that we are made kings and priests. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us of our sins of his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests. And I talked about how that a king should act like a king, not a beggar. The king has it in his hand. He has the control. I have the control in my hand because my Father is God. And he's made me the king. And so I have the control in my hand to do that which is right and that what is good. And help the poor and help the needy and see things that we can help them with. Amen? And all of us are kings. I was not kidding this morning when everybody was walking out and I was calling you king. I'm very serious about that. We are kings. Why should I grovel at things that are very unimportant? There's a lot of Christians, that's all they do. They gripe about the little things. They gripe about the preacher. They gripe about his preaching. They'll go out of a service like this morning and say, boy, I bet that got somebody. What do you mean that got somebody? I wasn't preaching to that guy. I was preaching at you, buddy. And you didn't get it. You hard-hearted? Are you saved? When the preacher stands up and preach, you take it for yourself. Don't take it for your wife. Boy, I've preached sometime. This kind of stuff. Sorry. If you're doing like that, you're not getting it. Now, I can see a joke. Okay. But not when you're preaching the Word of God and saying, thus saith the Lord God. Hey, we're kings. And not only that, we're priests. A priest is a man, supposedly, who is supposed to walk with God. And God says, we're all priests. It would be a shame when priests do not abide by the rule of the law and the scriptures. And we have many people doing that today. Many Christians who call themselves Christians, they don't act like Christians. So we have a new relationship. I'm trying to catch up. Hang on. Every born-again individual has God as his father, Christ as his elder brother, and he is, listen to this, heir to God and joint heirs with Christ to all of the treasures, all of the possessions, all of the powers of heaven and eternity. Surely, it is infinitely better to be a son of God rather than to be a slave and dupe of Satan. Don't you agree with that? What a great thing to know that God, your Father, loves you and promises you life everlasting, never a want, never a care. I talked to Jordan Sumner today and he said, preacher, it reminds me of how you used to say, you can't scare me with heaven. What's wrong with heaven? He said, I know, and he cried. He said, my mom was 55. But, oh, the peace and the joy and the serenity and the rest there is in heaven. I think you got it. Why praise somebody out of heaven? Tom Williams used to say it all the time. He said, I'll come to places and people are praying for their 98-year-old grandma to stay living. And she didn't say, leave me alone. I want to go to heaven. And people are begging that she keeps staying here on earth. Leave me alone. When it's my time, it's my time. Now, I've had a lot of people really chide me about riding a motorcycle. And Chaplain Warren Ebert, who is a chaplain down in Galton County, I had coffee with him on Friday, and he sends his love to you, Brother Racy. And we were talking, and I says, hey, let me ask you something, Warren. How many times have you gone death notification on a motorcycle or drive? He said, not very often. I said, what are you most? He says, people die in bed. Car wrecks. Because I can't remember too many motorcycles. I said, there, that just proves you. Now leave me alone. God knows perfectly when I'm going to die. Yep. I don't want to die prematurely because I have a job to do. And it is my pleasure to take care of my wife. And don't ever get at that wrong. That is my pleasure. It is my pleasure that I have to be able to take care of my blessed wife. It's my pleasure. It's amazing. I'm all excited about doing things, doing this, doing that. This morning I got up and wore some bedclothes and I thought of a minister and I thought, you know, it's amazing. Man, I'm just doing it. Hey, praise the Lord, just a normal thing in my life. Amen. And I got thrown in the sheets and everything in there, slamming the deal and running around fast, getting ready to make sure I get her up for time for church. Amen. And I hear people say, oh, brother, dear, I feel so sorry for you. And I said, oh, yeah, maybe that isn't so good. Don't do that! That's the way life is. Amen. It's a pleasure. Pleasure to serve God. Amen. Pleasure to give yourself to somebody else. It's more blessed to give than receive. After becoming the Son of God, you naturally sustain a new relationship with fellow Christians. And there are our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Paul's writing a Christian address to his brethren. I love you. I'm so glad to see you guys. Man, I yearn for your fellowship. I just yearn for those moments I can grab you aside and maybe talk to you at church, and all of a sudden it seems like our time is gone with y'all. When I got saved, I got a new relationship. A whole bunch of relatives. And you know what they say? You can pick your wife, but you can't pick your relatives. But anyway, thought I'd throw that one in. There was a day when Paul the Apostle endeavored to stamp out Christianity and liquidated all the Christians. But he met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. There was born in his heart a fervent, sacrificing love for all the children of God. What a change that made. Amen. They were scared to death of them. And they should have been. But when he got saved, after the Philippian jailer accepted Christ, there was a love in his heart for Paul and Silas. Immediately after the earthquake that split the Philippians' jail, wide open, and the jailer accepted Christ. And then he took Paul and Silas to his own home. I don't know about you, Tom, but I don't think I'd take some of them jailbirds to my house. No, thank you. Now, I might know a few. some of them give me the heebie-jeebies, amen. You know what I mean. But he said, come on to my house. What happened? There's been a great, great change since I've been born again, amen. There was a change in his heart. He said, hey, maybe I am on the wrong side of this thing, amen. I am sure, as the Bible says in Acts chapter 16, verse 33, there was a great change. And washed their stripes and was baptized, he and his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, rejoiced, believing in God, with all his heart. How special is that? How beautiful is that? Huh? Wow. I am sure if you have been born again, this truth has been very real in your life. I hope it has. You love to be in the presence and have fellowship with those who have experienced a transforming power in God in their life. I've traveled all over the world. I've spoken many, many different places in this world. And it amazes me that once you step in and put your hand out, or maybe nod to them, and they some way, somehow know you're a Christian, and you know something different about them. I got on a plane the other day, a guy sat down beside me, I knew he was a Christian. Just knew it. Started talking, sure enough, born again man, loved the Lord. Just, stewardess came on, talked to her for a moment, I knew she was saved. I carried Chad's tracks at one of the Grizzly Bear, and I said, I want to give you something. Oh, thank you, that's really good. And what'd she do? Stood back there while people were getting on, and she's reading that thing. And she told me where she went to church. Isn't that great? There's something about it. Isn't it amazing when you were teenagers and you weren't saved and you always could find the rebellious kids? Hey, you go to camp one day, you go to senior high camp, I'll give you 1 half hour and I promise you, you'll know who the dirt bags are and you'll know who the righteous kids are. Nope. Yes, you will. And if you're one of them, you're right with them, and you're rebelling, and you're griping, and you're complaining, nothing good enough, and you're trying to sneak off. Yes, you are, yes, you are, yes, you are, because I used to be one of those dirtbags. I always can find someone who's always on the edge. Even in Christian college. You'll find them. Won't you? How many have been in college? How many stayed in the dorms? How many of you stayed in the dorm in college? How many know I'm telling the truth? Yes, sir. Well, you know they're there. There's one kid in the college. Daddy was a preacher, good man. And I just happened to be going by his room and I saw him. He had a Playboy magazine. This is a Bible college. And I said to him, I said, hey! What do you got? I said, either you destroy them, I'm going right straight to the school. Major thing, that guy turned around and his life was changed. Sometimes all you have to do is just give a little encouragement, amen? Especially when you're 210 pounds and he's a wimp. You love to be in the presence of God's people in the fellowship. Hey, Christians, we have a common interest and a common aspiration and singleness of distinctions. We want to serve God. Number three, when a man gets saved, he accepts a change in his conduct. He exhibits change in his conduct. Number one, he gets a new heart. Number two, he gets a new relationship. But number three, he changes his conduct. What does the Bible say in Matthew chapter 7, verse 16? Ye shall know them by their fruits. Some are just lemons. Some are bananas. Some are just tomatoes or tomatoes, however you want to say it. Uh-oh, trouble in the nursery. Dad, she needs you. Oh, she's coming in and landing. We are living in a day when many people seem to think that once a person has accepted Christ, he continues to live according to the course of this world. Not so, my friend. Because there's a change. There's a rebirth. There's a new heart. There's new relationships. And you cannot keep going that way. And I'll tell you the very truth. All of a sudden, something will happen. Number one, you will lose your discretion, lose your desire. Paul said something about being seared. Talk about being seared. You know, years ago when a man would get a cut, I mean, really a bad cut, they'd sear him. They'd take a hot iron and psst, and burn that and cauterize it, and it wasn't too nice. But they kept walking people, and then all of a sudden, once that was cauterized, there's no feeling there anymore. The burn was gone. I mean, the burning sensation was gone, but what they did, they burned the nerve endings. And Paul the Apostle said, that's what happens when we keep rub against the world and find it. Well, look at the Scripture, righteous Lot. He was vexed daily with their filthy communication, filthy ways of life. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17 reminds us, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Some guys go into certain kind of habits, and the first time they do it, they get sick. And maybe the second time they do it, get sick, but after a while, the body accepts it. That's the way a lot of Christians are. They get saved, and boy, they're on fire for God. And they'd never do that, and they'd never go with a girl like that. They never would go with a guy like that. And boy, they've got standards, and they're separate. And boy, I'll tell you what, they stay away from the world. But after a while, they lose their perception. And it causes them great grief in their Christian life, because now they know what to do, but they don't do it. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. The power of Christ not only has a positive, but also have a negative aspect. Too many professors of religion are yielding to worldly and sinful indulgences and practices. They are living unscriptural, unspiritual, powerless, and compromising lives. They just compromise. I was looking at some Sunday school material that was given to me, and we were working on that, and I just happened to be flipping through, and there it was, right there. It was compromise. And it says, well, most people used to believe. Well, wait a minute. If they used to believe it, why shouldn't it be still belief? If they used to say, don't put a candle above a battery, it's probably a pretty good law to not put a battery or an open flame over a battery. I seen a friend of mine didn't believe that. Took a cigarette lighter, looked there, and he said, man, my battery must be low. And turn him. The battery was really low after that. But he was high. And I don't mean drug high. I mean, whew, you know, trying to get away from that sulfuric acid. Laws should be laws. Laws are laws are laws are laws. Once a law is made, that's the way it is. You know, law of gravity. That's what holds some of us big people down, amen. Or we'll climb up a mountain, amen. I'm glad the law of water exists, you know. When it gets cold, it turns ice. And it expands. Turns back to water, then goes to steam, comes to power. Isn't that amazing? Incredible law. Water boils at what? How many degrees? 212? Take it up to the mountains, tell me how much it boils now. 190? Something depends on the high distance there. But there's a lot of that, and you can figure that out. Scuba diving law says, hey, it's okay when you're diving to sea level, but when you're up in these high altitude lakes, you got to also add some more depths to the water, because the dense of the water and the less density of the atmosphere, and then you're in trouble. All kinds of laws. So why does the law change? Men of God for years have stood for the Word of God, and then all of a sudden said, well, maybe there's something better. Oh, look out now. Number of so-called Christians fear the scorn of the world and yield to compromising life, and so they are not be thought different or peculiar. We need to remember that while salvation does not consist altogether in absence of certain things, yet it is genuine experience. Salvation, there is visible adaptations. First John chapter 5, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. You got a job to do. This world is under the dominion of evil. It's under the evil one who rules by his ambition and ideas, society, intellectually, educationally, religiously, socially, and domestically. He tries to rule that and tries to get the girls to take off their clothes and tries to get the boys to act foolish. And tries to get the boys to love the boys and the girls to love the girls. How stupid is that? How, as Paul said, how inconvenient is that? It's wrong. Gets mankind to kill their babies, kill their own offspring. The world is constantly existing a power and exercising power each over one of us to draw us into disobedience to God. And only those who are born of God can have the victory of the world. And that's why our world is going so fast, because we do not have people that are generally born again. I mean, generally born again. I mean, genuinely. I mean, really, really saved. For some, instead of overcoming the world, they love their novels, neglect their Bible. They love the internet more than the fellowship of God's people. They love their movies and their bands and their parties and everything else that the world loves, but they are not interested in prayer, the salvation of souls, little bus kids and their parents, or the advancements of the name of Jesus Christ. Paul said in Galatians chapter 4, verse 24, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust." A thing that is crucified is supposed to be dead. I'm to crucify my body daily. I'm going to say, "Sheldon, shut up, you're dead." And go do something for Jesus. Find somebody that's in need. Find somebody who needs some help. That's what I'm supposed to do. Not find something for me, but find something for somebody else. That's true Christianity. We have so many people say, "Well, I'm too busy." For doing what? "Well, I got to do my this and got to do that." You know what? If you wouldn't spend so much stinking time on your... You name it. You can take it. You just may have a little bit a few times. "Oh, I'm so tired." Well, go to bed. Thursday night, I was at camp. I was so stinking tired. I said to my wife, "We're going to bed at 9:30. I went to bed at 9:30. "Mrs. Hobbs, aren't you proud of me?" She's all young. "You need your sleep." Next morning, I couldn't wait to get up. You know, the sun really does come up in the morning. Just thought I'd help you there. Some who are supposed to say that they are Christians make real lively corpses when they are around where things of the world are being pulled off. A man who is born again, who has led the Spirit of God, loves the things that God loves. I hope you're listening. I know it's warm in here, and I know it's 6:56 right now, but I am trying to give you something that can really help you. When you get saved, you get a new heart, you get a new relationship, but also there should be a change in your conduct. I'm really afraid for Heritage Baptist Church. I'm afraid that we lose our edge and find out that, like I said, I've been reading Revelation and Laodicea and all these churches, they left their first love, lost its first love, and Laodicea, God says, "Man, you make me sick. I don't want to do that to God." And you are the link. Every person is the link of the chain at Heritage Baptist Church, and if you're a weak one, that's as far as we're going. You can sit there and grumble and complain and stare me down and do whatever you want. But hey, you know what? Thus saith the Lord God. Yeah. And you teenagers, you put up with me or listen. But you young couples can put up or listen. But I'm telling you that I'm trying to help you. I'm not here for myself. I'm here for you. I'm 67. January I'll be 67. I should be retired. I don't want to retire. I have no desire in my little toe to retire. I want to serve God. I want to keep preaching at you. I want to keep assuring you that God loves you and God does expect you to live by this blessed book. Quit your fussing. Quit your hollering. Quit your complaining. Quit your fighting. Live for God. You've got a new heart. You got a new relationship. You're kings. You're priests. You should show off in your conduct. It's difficult to understand why a person who is born again would rather work on Sunday morning, get time and a half, than go to church. Would rather be playing golf, and going fishing and hunting and skiing, even sleep, than go to the house of God. Because when you got saved, your conduct is supposed to change and you're supposed to want to be here. In fact, the writer of Hebrews wanted to make it so sure. He said in Hebrews 10:25, you ought to have it written in the back of your Bible every time you get a hiccup and you got a little toenail hurting you. And say, well, I don't know if I better go to church. It really hurts. But I promise you will be at work. You'll go to your party. You do everything. But when it comes to church, you need church more than anything. This is what keeps you going. I don't like that. Talk to my boss. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves in manner some is. A lot of people's first. And I know I'm preaching the choir. You all here. God bless you. Hallelujah. I'm glad you're here. But I just want to remind you that someday when you do think you got a hangnail and you're thinking about staying home at church, get your old body out of bed and get to church. Amen. It'll do you more good. It's difficult for me to understand why a person born again who would rather go to a show and watch a bunch of half-dressed naked girls and boys in their tights, and most of you don't even want your daughters to appear that way, and you watch them wheel on their one toe, and you'd rather be there than go to a prayer meeting. It's hard to understand that people who profess to be followers of the pure, holy, and righteous God would want to do such a thing. 1 John 3:9. Now you're getting pretty quiet in here. Maybe I've got something going here. I'm shooting a hole again, amen. 1 John 3:9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him and cannot sin because he is born of God. Statement says, hey, once you get saved, you can't go out and habitually sin because you can't stand it. Because you know that God's going to keep rapping on you and Holy Spirit's going to keep pounding you and this preacher's going to keep yelling at you. And all of a sudden, you're so convicted, either you quit or you quit church. And you quit God. How can a person with a brand new heart and a brand new relationship, who is a king, who is a priest, say, I'm quitting God? You're the same people who would gripe and complain if God said, okay, you're done. No inheritance. Go up in the corner in heaven and just stay there. No, you'd be in the first line and say, God, this is not fair. Lord, you know so-and-so, and you know so-and-so, and you know so-and-so. That's incredible, isn't it? But God says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Thank God I can come to Him. We should be thankful to God for His provision. But this does not mean that God will tolerate the practice of the sin of a Christian life. The man who is born in sin, man who is born of God, hates sin, despises and detests sin, and he will shun it and keep separate from it in every way possible. Tonight we're going to take the Lord's Supper in just a few minutes. When you take that piece of bread, that cracker that illustrates the broken body of Jesus Christ, you're saying to your wife, You're saying to your neighbor, my heart is right before God. You're saying to the deacons of the church, of Heritage Baptist Church. You're saying to the preacher, you take that glass in your hand, that I am right with God and His creation. And then God said, I'll tell you what, if you take that, and if you take it wrong, He said, that's why some are sick and why some are weak and sickly, and that's why many are dead. God said, that's enough of your running around. That's enough of your messing around. That's enough of your monkey around. You say you're a Christian, you act like the devil. Hey, I'm going to take you home before you get in more trouble. Well, amen, or oh me.
Right.
That's the Bible. You don't look at me like that. Oh, pastor. Nah. Yeah. Read your Bible. Don't kill the messenger. Don't kill the messenger. I'm just here telling you what my Heavenly Father told me. I'm His servant boy. I do what He says. Not what you said. I do what He says. I'm not your servant boy. I'm His servant boy. I am your man of God. There's a difference between a man and a boy. I'll always be His servant boy. I just want you to live holy in an unholy world. I want to remind you. The Bible said rebuke and exhort. You said, I don't like that. Well, God doesn't like the way you're living either. You come in and you get saved and your heart's changed and you live for God and you read your Bible and you pray and all of a sudden you start wandering off. Hey, get back in, amen. You're variable. You don't know where you're at. Get up in the morning, you don't know if you're a Christian or not. Go to eat, you don't know if you're a Christian or not. You drop the napkin on the floor, you pray coming back up. You don't want anybody to know you're a Christian, amen. Are you a Christian or not? The blood-bought Christian realizes that his Heavenly Father sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross and take the beating for you and me. And therefore, there is a price that we should live a holy life before God. Whosoever born of God does not commit sin. Whosoever practices of doing wrong is a child of the devil, and I'm sure of hell as devil himself. We must come to the conclusion that when the result of being born again is that the only begotten of God does not purposely or intentionally do things that were contrary to the will of God. And immediately when you realize you are contrary to the will of God, immediately right there stop and pray and say, God, I am sorry. And you know when you sin. How many know when you sin? Yeah. Only a couple of you. Fern, she doesn't know. Her sister, her daughter there. Perfect. Now we know when we sin. Yes, we do. We know when we're cross. We know when we're abrasive. We know when we shouldn't have said something. Yes, we do. And immediately out of our mouth says, God, forgive me. And then, God, hey, I am so sorry. I should never said that. Will you please forgive me? Boy, that goes a long way. Some of you parents discipline your children. All of a sudden, it gets out of control. And all of a sudden, you lose your... Stop right there. Say to God, God, I have sinned. And then turn to the child and say, I'm sorry, I should not act that way. You know why I'm disciplining you. You won't listen to me, and you're really bothering me, and I need to get that thing controlled, and so do you. So let's both get on our knees and ask Jesus to forgive us. That's a novel idea. You say, preacher, I'll bet you never did it. I did it more than you ever believe. You raised three boys that are strong and got testosterone pounding off them. I mean, bouncing off them. You can't even hardly see them. You guys smile. You got them little boys. I'll tell you what. You just wait, Sammy boy. You wait, Clyde. And they look right at you. Saw it the other day at breakfast. You're a good daddy. He took care of business. The boy was good for the next 2 minutes. The benefits are innumerable. Rewards are eternal. Transgressions are forgiven. Sins are blotted out. Condemnation is gone. Conscience is no longer accuses. And there is no longer the fear of God, wrath of punishment. When you come to God and say, God, I am sorry. And God said, I'll take this sin and cast it in the deepest sea, never remember it again. I'll cast it from the east to the west. I love that because east is that way, west is that way, and up and down there. And so what does that do? That draws me a cross. An eternal cross. Slave chains are broken. The devil hold is torn loose. We are regenerated by His grace. New ideas, new motives, new purpose implanted in the very fiber of our being. The things of the world seem to be unattractive anymore and not pleasant anymore and meaningless and undesirable. But the peace of God is what I want to get a hold of. Our names are written in the book of life. We are the children of the King. We are citizens of the kingdom. Heaven and eternity are now the longing of the soul, the hope of the mind, and the very life motivates the power of this heart. You can't scare me to heaven, and I'm ready for it right now. I just got a few things to do right now before I can go. And so do you. Maybe that neighbor needs to know Jesus. We are saved to reign with Him in the new heaven, in the new earth. We are saved to wear the crowns of righteousness that will outshine the noon sun. There is a change. But first of all, there has to be a salvation. There has to be a salvation. You will not experience any of this. Oh, you might get a flick and you might get a spark once in a while, but you'll never experience the peace that passes all understanding when you say, hey, I know my God makes no mistakes. I know my God works in my heart. I know that He will sustain me, and I know that He will give me power to get through this thing. I know that He will get me through this, and He will provide a way of escape. And I'm going to make this thing. I have to have that in my heart. I can't imagine what it would have been 2 years ago if I wasn't saved. I know some of you, your wife has been very sick, or your husband has been very sick, and there is no way that you can get through things. I don't know how the world does it. I guess that's the way to take a 357, put it to the head, and touch it off. I guess that's why they do it. But as a Christian, we always know the sun's coming up in the morning.
Amen.
I want to sing that song. What's that song? Nancy, come up and play for me. Fernie, come up and play for me. Sun's coming up in the morning.
38.
38? I want you to listen to the song.
Yes, sir.
Once again, I face Satan this morning, and I battle him all the day long. But in my weakness, God sent reinforcements, and at sundown, I sang victory song. 38. Once again I face Satan this morning, and I battle him all the day long. But in my weakness, God sent reinforcement. Boy, I'm glad about that. And at sundown, I sang victory song. And the sun's coming up in the morning. Every tear will be gone from my eye. This old clay gonna give way to glory. Amen. In a world filled with doubt and confusion, boy, that's true, amen. It's so hard when you don't understand. Oh, but I'll stand on a solid foundation. That's the Bible, amen. And I hold to an unchanging stand. Sing it with me now. In the morning, sing it like you believe it. And the dust will be gone from my eye. This will cling on and give way to glory. I take to the sky. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'd help us tonight. Lord, I pray there'd be anyone here tonight, not sure they're saved, not sure they have a home in heaven, that right now they'd stop everything, stop their thoughts, everything, and say, Dear God, I'm done with this running. I'm done with this foolishness. I want a new heart. I want a new relationship. I want new conduct. I've got to get things changed. Speak to my heart. Heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. You're here today. Say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, but boy, I want to know that. Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. God bless you, someone else. I'm just not sure. Right there where you're sitting, listen to me now. Right there where you're sitting, you ask Jesus Christ to forgive your sins. Come in your heart. The Bible says, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you invite him right now? Why don't you just pray this prayer? Say, Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save me right here, right now, at this spot. And if you did that, why don't you just thank him? Say, Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. You're here today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. You're here today and say, Preacher, I prayed that prayer. I really did. I asked Jesus in my heart. God bless you. Anyone else? God bless you. Thank you. You may put your hand down. That's good. Well, I'll tell you what. Do you know what you just got? You just got a brand new heart. And you got a brand new relationship. You became a king. You became a queen. You became a priest for God. And all the inheritance that even some of us who've been saved for 50 years or even more, you've got the same inheritance as I'm getting. What a deal is that? If you're here today and you accepted Christ as personal Savior, I would invite you to come forward. I'll stand up here and show you in the Word of God what you've done in your heart and your life. We're going to have everybody stand. You're here today and you say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Or tonight I pray that prayer. And I ask Jesus in my heart, I'm going to be up front. You just step out of the seat. I'm the aisle. Let me show you from the Word of God. It'll only take a few minutes. I'm so glad that you did that. You come right now. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Music playing.